This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Here's some hour two headlines, Draven.
We're going to start with some local Tennessee news. Sports teams taking over. Huh? Staff of the year.
Who?
Tennessee soccer. I said Tennessee sports teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Lady soccer, though. Staff of the year.
In the country?
Yeah, in the country. How about that? Round of applause.
Look at Coach Penske.
Staff of the year.
Get it done over there.
Yeah, great year. Disappointing run in the tournament, but still. Really solid year. And then we had our volleyball team punching a ticket. They're in the tournament. They're in the big dance, John.
The volleyball team is?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
It seems like they've had a real glow up. Whoever they is it still the woman that Philip Fulmer hired? Cause, I mean, I feel like that was the first thing he did was like hire a volleyball coach or one of the first things. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, that was one of the few things
he might have got that one right. It seems like a program. I don't know if it's the same one. I haven't.
I would assume so.
I haven't seen a coaching change there. Either way, good job for them. It seems like they are building a pretty good program there.
Yeah, back when I first came up here, they were awful. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they'd been awful through.
Eve what? Eve? That'd be Eve, right?
Yeah.
Eve what?
Okay.
I have not heard of her before, to be honest. Fourth season on Rocky Top. So
that would have been Fulmer. The one, you know, he hired her. And,
how about that?
Well, stud.
Compiled a 53-27 record in three seasons.
Not too shabby. They will be taking on North Carolina, UNC, coming up. I believe that game will be on Friday. Check it out. Friday, I think it's, let me make sure. Yep, Friday, 5 o'clock. They'll be taking on UNC. It'll be up in Columbus. Cold up there. It'll be cold weather for the, it's volleyball. I was thinking soccer for a second.
It's inside.
Hey, no weather affected. We're ready to go. Fired up in Columbus. I believe Ohio State. So Ohio State's going to be hosting, and there's going to be three other teams. North Carolina. Ohio State, by the way, number 9 national seed. And then they will play host to Tennessee, North Carolina, and Howard. So Ohio State take on Howard. We'll play the winner of that. How about it? 19-9, 11-7 in SEC play.
Good job, by the way.
Finished fourth in the SEC.
Good job.
Punching a tournament. I'm assuming the tournament works the same in regular 64 tournament. Do we know? Do you know the volleyball tournament, John?
Let's move on.
Okay. That's probably a good idea. All right. What we got next? Oh, Mike Tomlin and Chase Claypool. A little getting into it. Cameron Hayward getting thrown in there as well. Chase Claypool is wanting to play music at practice. Make it a little bit more fun, you know? A little bit more relaxed. Get some music going. And he pretty much got bashed by his whole team, essentially. I mean, you had Cameron Hayward said, I hope he was kidding, because as soon as he said it, I wanted to rip the speaker out. And then Mike Tomlin said, Chase Claypool is a receiver, and I'm the coach, so I run the practices, basically. He says, Claypool plays wide out, and I let him do that. I formulate the practice approach, and that division of labor is probably appropriate.
I just laugh at the Steelers wide receivers, like they and the rest
they're
of the
just
team,
a headache.
The literally. Rest of the team seems to have the blue collar Steel City approach, and the wide receivers like, nah,
let's make a TikTok
and music, and yeah, let's have somebody streaming at all times so that way we can take our best clips and put them on the internet and get some likes and retweets and whatever the hell they call it, reposts on TikTok. Let's do that.
Yes,
meanwhile, they're 5-5-1, just got their ass beat.
All right, still, of course, talking about that.
They just got blown out. It's like, hey, you know what we really need? Music at practice. I'll fix it.
I was going to ask, is it that big of a deal, music at practice? Like, do you want you feel like Mike Tomlin has a right to be like, come on.
I mean, I feel like music at practice is a pretty common thing, though.
That's what I thought, right?
In the NFL, at least, yeah.
College, too, right? I mean, whenever I used to go cover practices, like, they'd play practice for football, like, here, too.
Yeah. Then again, Mike Tomlin, he's pretty strict on his practices, right? Didn't he get, like, I don't want to say in trouble, but he kind of got talked to about, like, going a little too hard in practice at times. something like that. Either way. Going back to college football, we had another hire. Didn't really talk about this at all. Virginia Tech also got their guy, defense coordinator Brent Pry. Penn State's defense coordinator.
Yeah. Do we worry about this if we're Tennessee? A
little bit.
Tim Banks, you know, was co-DC for a while, and now the other guy's gone. Does James Franklin make the call to bring Tim back?
If you want to establish your same like defensive scheme and everything, you want somebody that you know knows it. I think it's an easy call, but
No. You don't say, hey, we got two co-guys, and then you leave, and you don't come back after the other guy leaves. No.
You sure?
It's an upgrade.
Why not?
Your old job.
You hurt your feelings?
Maybe. It just kind of feels, I don't know.
I mean, obviously that guy was a little bit higher in the pecking order because he got a head coaching job, but now you can go back and be the guy. What's more likely to get you a head coaching job, being the DC at Penn State or being the DC for Josh Heupel at Tennessee? We just saw this guy get a job at Virginia Tech.
It's a valid point.
What's better to do, play coach defense, recruit defense in the Big Ten, or recruit defense in the SEC East? Which is funny because that's like became a bad thing for the last, prior to like the last 3 years, like you'd want to be a defensive coordinator in the SEC. You get slow, boring offenses and good athletes, but like it's not really the case like that anymore. Big Ten's still kind of that way, though. I would be worried if Penn State called Tim Banks. I think it would make a lot of sense. I think it'd be easier for him to recruit there. I think his defensive numbers would look better.
The numbers would look better. I don't know if it's like his credits getting taken away. I mean, I told you he's on the Broyles Award list. Sure. We mentioned that. Best assistant.
And
we all know he's done a great job. I feel like everybody knows he's overachieved.
Sure, but like, defense. He's not going to overachieve anymore than he did in year one. Like, I just think, like, I think from now on, like, year two, like, it's not going to be overachieving if you put the same numbers up. It's going to be doing what you're supposed to do. Like, the idea is that you like, are going to replenish talent and, like, have your system in place. Year one, Tim Banks was an A. Or, you know, at least a B+. Like, you know, everyone getting good marks. Like, Tim Banks was really good, but if it's the same thing in year two or year three, or it takes a step back, like, what do we think? It's not like they're necessarily recruiting big-time talent. They did get a safety yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
The safety they got yesterday, right? The Christian
defensive back, yeah.
Christian Harrison.
Oh, sure. Rodney Harrison's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, so he it's official.
I guess he's
to Tennessee.
Just a cornerback. Yeah, he's listed as just a cornerback. Okay, not a safety, but he did get a defensive back, and that's a guy that people are excited about. And he does have the pedigree, you know, like you said, Rodney Harrison's kid. So maybe the Tennessee will get some talent in here. We'll see. I would just be a little worried if they called Tim Banks because I mean that's where he's.
Yeah.
Feels like he has more of a tattoo. But Tennessee gave him a big chance and a big big contract. So.
And Brent Pry was also had to stay at Penn State for a long time. He's been there since 2014. Actually, I mean, he's been with James Franklin since 2011. He was with James Franklin over at Vanderbilt as well.
Right. So if I'm Tim Banks, I don't feel like I'm felt that slighted that I was co-defense coordinator with him. It's been his guy for a long time. But either way, any other headlines?
Mike Bobo, office coordinator down in Auburn, got fired as well. So he had another kind of coaching move in the SEC. Probably no surprise there. Auburn's offense kind of brutal this year. But does this give you confidence, Harsin returning, or are you still not very confident in that with them firing the OC, maybe throwing him under the bus a little bit?
I mean, with Harsin, I think it just comes down to whether or not he gets vaccinated. Like that they're going to enforce that rule. Like wasn't that the whole conversation around Harsin? Basically, they're going to use the vaccine as a reason. But like now that Washington's full, maybe he doesn't have anywhere else to go. So maybe he'll just be like, you know what, this is dumb to throw away $20 million.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. But
so fired his OC after 1 year.
1 year.
I mean, the OC couldn't do what anybody couldn't do, which is fix Bo Nix, who I guess is hitting the transfer portal.
Oh, is that official?
I believe that. I don't know if it's official, but I believe it was reported yesterday, right, that Bo Nix was hitting the transfer portal?
I haven't seen that.
Okay. I thought I saw Bo Nix hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's probably
or is open to all options, including the transfer portal. Like, I don't know if that means like he's thinking about going pro or whatever, but let me check here. Hold on. Bo Nix.
He's not going pro. I was going to say, I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, everyone's just saying, okay, after he sees he was in the transfer portal. I mean, look, there's a lot of talk about Bo Nix. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. I guess it's maybe not official yet, but he'd be playing for his fourth different offensive coordinator in 4 years.
Jeez.
I mean, Bo Nix is a five-star, right?
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Because I remember, it was like his freshman year. They're like, we got this 5-star quarterback starting.
Beat Oregon that first game. Was that his freshman year?
Yeah, I think it was.
What a botch by Oregon.
So, not transferring?
I think he hinted sure that. I figured that he hinted at it. That might have been a last-ditch effort to try to save Mike Bobo's job, or maybe he wanted Mike Bobo fired. I don't know what his intentions were there, but there was Bo Nix transfer talk yesterday.
Gotcha. All right. I guess completely forgot to mention the biggest news, the best news for us UT fans, the reassurance that we got from Josh Heupel, from our head coach, him tweeting out the hashtag GBO. Let's go. Hey, you took that he ain't going nowhere.
You took that as a positive sign?
Oh, yeah, I took that as a positive sign. What, you thinking it's a negative? He tweeted hashtag Go Big Orange.
Why do you think he did that?
Because probably he's seeing rumors, stuff about him going back to Oklahoma. I think it was I'm not going anywhere.
I don't think that was it. I think he tweets after every commitment.
Yeah, I thought that was the same time as, he got that dude to the back.
He tweeted an hour and a half after the commitment happened. Some people were like, where's Josh? Why hasn't he tweeted yet?
Sure about that one?
I mean, he tweets after every commitment. Well, says GBO after every commitment.
Aaron Torres did say.
I don't think Josh Heupel's going anywhere. I don't think the GBO was him saying he isn't going anywhere. I think it was him basically celebrating a recruit because he does it every time. And it'd be awkward if he didn't do it this time.
Okay.
I don't think he's going anywhere, though. I don't think Oklahoma's going to try to hire him. Although, apparently, Brent Hubbs from VolQuest said that the Oklahoma Venable stuff has slowed down a little bit. Like, it looked like last night that it was, coming to a head, and it's hasn't happened yet. So, I don't know if Venables is necessarily going to get the Oklahoma job. So, they might have to start going down the list a little bit. I didn't buy the tweet as him saying I'm staying the room.
I saw a few people tweeting that, so that's why.
I think some people are either just looking for optimism and confirmation bias, or don't think about context all the time. Nate did go on the radio and basically say we love Knoxville. He did that this morning, so maybe he's not going anywhere.
Shouldn't care. What does it matter what these head coaches say? I mean, right. Brian Kelly said a couple weeks ago
he'd take $250 million to get me away. You had Lincoln Riley say, I'm not going to LSU. Now, he didn't go to LSU, but he still left. So, who cares?
By the way, I have some – don't have the contract details yet for Napier. I do have Lincoln Riley's contract details for USC. Don't have the year, but I have the money, $110 million.
I think it was a 10-year deal.
10-year, so would that be $11 million? Yeah. So, not too shabby. USC is also buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000.
$500,000 above asking price.
Oh, yeah.
An extra $1 million straight up in his pocket. And, don't worry about selling your house. We'll buy it.
And then buying him a $6 million home in L.A. for him.
That seems excessive.
I'll
go in L.A. $6 million is probably just a regular $1 million house in Knoxville, I would say.
Unlimited.
Most coaches live in.
Unlimited use of the private jet. 24/7 for the fam.
I feel like you should be 24/7. For just anybody in the fam?
Any not.
Is it just Lincoln? Does Lincoln have to be on it?
How old are his kids?
Kid
just taking a private jet in the middle of the night to Vegas or something.
Use it too. Hey, Lincoln, I'm family.
I did say Lincoln Riley's dogs' names are Boomer and Sooner. Do you think he changes those names? Or
I don't think you can.
That's tough.
That is tough, isn't it? That's a very
I don't
awkward...
get why coaches always do that. They name their kids or their pets after whatever school they're at. It's you're likely to leave or get fired. I don't know what you're doing, man.
I think they ultimately said that Knox was a family name as well, but it was I'm going to do both. But, yeah, that was pretty funny that that happened. But I'm sure they laugh about it now.
Course.
Yeah. Poor Boomer and Sooner. They might just put him down. That's what Lincoln Riley should do. Lincoln Riley should just shoot his dogs because they're named Boomer and Sooner.
And you're just trotting two more.
USC should burn down the houses that they bought in Norman, Oklahoma. Just completely. Either that or just put some weird stuff on the property. Put nothing but
just
USC
deck them
flag
out in USC.
Never sell it. Just decorate all in USC stuff.
There we go.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Catch a pro dancing, playing with a stick. The mecca of college football, USC. I mean, I do think Tennessee needs USC to be good. I do think LSU being good. Does that help Tennessee or hurt Tennessee? Does it affect Tennessee? I don't know.
I mean, it affects us next year. We play them.
Next year, yeah. Next year on the schedule. I mean, that changes that. I mean, if your goal is to weaken Alabama and Georgia, which I guess should be your goal, and really Florida, because LSU plays Florida every year. So, I guess the enemy of our enemy is our friend, right? Isn't that how that works? So you kind of need LSU to be good because that's a hopeful loss for Florida every year. And maybe it doesn't matter as much as it used to because you're not competing really against Florida in the SEC East right now. You're competing against Georgia. But, like, you want to get ahead of Florida. You want to maybe finish second in the conference or the division, I guess I should say.
You would say we have to finish better than Florida next year.
I won't say we have to. I mean, I'd say
it would. I feel like that's got to be a goal for Hopple.
I mean, it should be a goal every year, but
Yeah, that's fine. Should, you know, win the SEC East every year. That's fine. We're not going to win the East next year. I think we all could agree on that.
And I don't think it was a realistic goal this year either.
No, not even close. But I do think Florida's got a new coach, man. Like, this is the time. Like, this is our biggest thing. One of our biggest issues is we can't beat Florida. Like, this is the perfect time with a first-year head coach.
We say that.
It was a Group 5 head coach. Like, I mean, this has got to be it. So I know we say that every year, but it's like.
Are you saying we should beat Florida or finish ahead of them in the conference? I mean, I guess there's kind of similar questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a year. I mean, Tennessee goes to LSU next year, which I think we can agree is probably going to be tougher than we thought it was going to be because Brian Kelly's better than Ed Orgeron, and Brian Kelly's better than. It looked like where they were headed with bargain bin options after Lincoln Riley told them no.
We'll see what they look like.
Sure, but I would say that Tennessee's going to lose the game at LSU this year. Or, you know, this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brian Kelly's a good coach, and I think they'll still have way more talent than Tennessee, and I think that it's not going to take as much of a rebuild for Brian Kelly at LSU. Now, Florida has to play them too, and Florida also plays at Texas A&M, you know, to kind of even out our Alabama. So, like, it's kind of comparable in terms of cross-division opponents, although, I mean, I think we all agree that Alabama's still going to be much better than Texas A&M, although it's not like they're playing Arkansas or Mississippi State.
Right.
Or Auburn. Tennessee, September 24th, Knoxville. When you say he has to beat them, I mean, like, it's nothing's going to happen if they don't. You might get off a bad start to the season. You might lose some goodwill you've built up this year. Like, the way I've said it, and I've been arguing with people all morning about it, actually, is that, like, I think Josh Heupel did a solid job last year. I think B is solid. Now, I think that some people have really gone too far and overrated this. I think when you talk about the offense, like, the offense is great, don't get me wrong, against who it needed to be great against this year, but, like, I can't get past the fact we scored 17 second-half points combined, total, against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. Yeah. You scored 17 total second-half points. You could say, well, we scored more points against anybody versus Georgia. We scored more points than anybody against them. Yeah, you scored a garbage-time touchdown with 2 minutes left. Like, was their defense in trying? Maybe. Sure, I guess the starters are in, but, like, is that really where
we're at? Don't say that. They were trying.
Is that really where we're going to hang our hat on, though? Is that you scored 17 points when you were down, what, 41-10? Is that really what you're going to hang your hat on? Like, that was seven.
I feel kind of proud about it myself.
Well,
this is the greatest defense in college football history, John.
That's fine. Are you hanging your whole hat on the whole season that you scored one touchdown in the fourth quarter against Georgia?
That's not what we're hanging a hat on for the whole season. Are you nuts?
But if we're looking at talking points, like, a part of it is you scored more points than anybody against Georgia. That's what people
are
saying.
Beat Kentucky and beat the teams you should. That's the talking point.
Sure, but, like, the teams you beat are going to be the teams you're supposed to beat next year. Like, beating the teams you're supposed to beat this year doesn't mean that you're going to take a step up and all of a sudden beat other teams next year. Like, Florida, who was 6-6, beat you by 24 points. You scored 0 second half points against them. Does that change drastically from one year to the next? Because Florida wasn't very good this year. Now, granted, I don't think they're as bad as they were when they fell apart with Dan Mullen. Like, keep in mind, this team played pretty well the week before against Alabama. I'm not saying that, like, that Florida was just a terrible team. I'm not saying that. But you got beat by 24 points. You scored 0 points. They held out most of their starters. After the game, they said they had to get healthy for the Kentucky team. Whoever the hell else is next on their schedule. They basically, like, this team's actually going to be tough to play. I think it was Kentucky. Like, all that stuff still matters. Context still matters. Is it realistic to say that Tennessee's going to rise up and beat them in year two? You can say it is, but I will say we've done this song and dance plenty of times before, and it hasn't worked out.
I do think the narrative would be pretty bad for Hopple, though. You lose to Florida again and be like, well, here we go.
Sure.
We can't beat Florida with a first-year head coach. Looks like every other head coach we've had the past 3 or 4 years, 5, 6 years, whatever.
Sure. But, like, is that where we're setting the expectations for Josh Heupel next year? Because I think you're setting yourself up for failure for looking at the schedule and saying, well, we should cruise at 9 wins. I think you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because, again, I'm not downplaying the season, but I'm also not saying that this year one is a sign of things to come in terms of taking linear progression. The fact you beat Kentucky by 3 points does not mean that you're going to turn around and beat Florida the next year. The fact you beat that Missouri team, you beat them down. That doesn't mean that you're going to take the next step and go up a weight class. Like, beat South Carolina, cool. Like, again, none of those teams mean that you're going to take a step up and beat anybody else. I hope you do. It'd be nice if that's how it works. If, like, a coach improved and improved and improved, and eventually you catch up and you're 10-2 and you're right there, that'd be great. And hopefully that, you know, the transfer portal is kind to us, and hopefully a full year of Hendon Hooker and a full offseason of him, and we're riding high. Hopefully. I'm still not completely sold Hendon Hooker's not going pro.
Me neither.
Now, I think it's, if I'm betting, I would say it's probably like 75-25 he stays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd still feel pretty comfortable betting that, but I'm not sold on it.
Yep.
I don't think anybody's world would be shocked if he's like, you know what, actually, guys, I'm 24 years old. I'm going to go try to make some money.
Yeah, especially with this quarterback class.
But the NIL helps, and that's what it was intended to do. So, like, Tennessee really needs to land him some money. They really need to, you know, spend the offseason getting a couple guys some money and improving how they handle that. How big of a rebuild do we think that Billy Napier has at Florida?
Probably not that big, right? I mean, talk about talent. They still got talent.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't recruited at a high level or as high as they should at Florida, but Dan Mullen was still getting like top 15 classes, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't where they should be at Florida, but like they were still top 15 or so. Now, you know, Billy Napier's got some work to do this year to keep this class together, but this, you know, falling apart this year might take a couple of years to really affect them, right? Like they're 31st in recruiting right now.
Yeah.
Billy Napier didn't have time to get there, and because, you know, Florida really wanted Christian Harrison, the guy we got last night, Ronnie Harrison's son. Like, they really wanted them. It was basically down to us in Florida, and he picked Tennessee.
How about that?
So, like, you look around, like, is Florida going to be that far in the hole? I don't know. Maybe. Is LSU going to fall apart? I'm less doubtful about that. So, like, It seemed more fun to talk last week or 2 weeks ago about the idea that you could win 9 or 10 games. But do we think Florida is going to take that big of a step back with Billy Napier? Do we think LSU is going to not still be better than you with Brian Kelly, who is a top 7 coach in college football? Those games are tough. They're a lot tougher than we thought they were going to be 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we thought it might be like lame duck year. Dan Mullen, lame duck year, Ed Orgeron, or you know, struck out on their head coach, LSU, whoever it is.
You're hoping for.
Apple has to be better than 7-5, though, for people to still have the same sort of confidence in him, right? Like, I feel like he has to go 8-4.
8-4, I mean, is that
if he goes 7-5 again, I think a lot of people would probably wouldn't be pissed off or anything, want him fired, but I think there'd be a lot of unhappy people.
I mean, sure. Like, if you look and you look ahead to next year, like, 8 wins should be what a lot of people consider the goal / floor. 7-5, I mean, you could basically go 7-5 by running back the same season. Losing to Pitt.
And losing to all the good SEC teams.
Beating Akron, beating Ball State, beating UT Martin, beating Kentucky at Neyland, beating Missouri at Neyland. Like, those games are even more must-wins than they were this year. Now, granted, like, you went on the road, you won those games. Those are good wins. I'm, again, not downplaying those games. You should beat them again at Neyland. You should beat them at Williams-Brice. Like, South Carolina, maybe that game's a little bit tougher, but, like, you should still beat South Carolina, bro. You should still beat Vandy at Vandy. Strangely enough, we get South Carolina as our second to last game next year.
Saw that. Okay. So 3 of our last 4 games are on the road. It's kind of a weird setup.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're looking at, well, excluding Georgia, if you're looking for an end of season for Tennessee, it might even be more boring next year than I guess not, because Missouri's still going to be kind of a coin flip game. That
South Carolina, like you said, could be pretty good. Beamer doing over there.
Missouri at South Carolina at Vanderbilt. That's your last 3. So Missouri and South Carolina both go to the back of the schedule. You have Ball State to tune up for.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to Pittsburgh, and I think that's your swing game. That's your chance to go from 7-5 to 8-4.
Yeah, that game's huge.
That's your best case, you know, scenario, because let's just swap out LSU at LSU for Ole Miss. You still got your Georgia. You still got your Alabama. You still got your Florida. So, like, there's four losses that you would look at. And I think by the time next year comes around, people aren't going to be okay with losing to Florida. But it's Florida. Tennessee doesn't beat them.
Got to eventually, man. This is the best opportunity you're going to have in a long time.
I feel like we've said that five different
times. We say that
a lot.
I mean,
5-6, but we were also pretty terrible most of those years that they were bad. We were also pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's fine, but like...
And this past year, they were playing at a time they were still kind of good.
Sure.
Next year is the year. I'm telling you, it is. It's the year.
Your Cowboys
you
are
just,
showing.
You just said it. Napier, he's a guy that's not going to bring any excitement, any juice.
No,
there's not going to be any high expectations in
Florida. I'm not saying he's not bringing excitement or juice. Like, Florida fans actually seem pretty happy with him, like, when they hired him. But now I wonder, like, if that changed whenever you see two other schools come out and land two, you know, big guys. But, like, no, everyone's praising Billy Napier's hire at Florida. Like, people are saying that's the best hire of the cycle. And they said something about Dan Mullen, and who knows? Like, I think he had a better track record at Louisiana recruiting than like Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State.
Yeah. I think he's still a really good coach.
Sure,
But like you said, when you see the big names, it just I don't know. Kind of, it doesn't like necessarily overshadow it, but you're just like, oh, I guess we could have got a bigger name person. But
I think Tennessee would have been better off next year against Florida with a Dan Mullen that goes through a full off season of turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of like how Butch Jones did in 2017, and you know the wheels completely fall off, and it's like
he just knew it was over.
Right,
you knew it was over.
Like I think that would have been best for Tennessee. Now, granted, a year one coach it takes some time, and getting them in game four is pretty good too. So maybe them coming on the road—that's a game that Tennessee can win. I don't know if I'm willing to go as far as saying they should win, because if you're like making excuses for this team, or you know, even using justification and reasons for why this team struggled, like depth is going to be one of them, right? It's probably going to be the main one. Lack of talent. I don't think those things get fixed in one offseason unless Tennessee just crushes it absolutely in the transfer portal, which we'll see what happens. You think they get anybody better in the transfer portal than they got last year with Peyton and Hooker? Do you think you have two guys that make more of an impact there? And I know it's hard to say with Hooker being your quarterback,
might be able to get a linebacker who's a stud.
You got Juwan Mitchell last year, and he was terrible.
He played like three games, then got hurt, and he was terrible.
He was terrible
in
the three games. No disrespect if Juwan's listening, but like I'm just like the transfer portal could help, but like you know the lineman from USC was pretty good. He was pretty sturdy there. I mean, the guy you got from Kansas was pretty sturdy
DeJounte,
there. Like,
yeah, he
was
bad.
Those guys were fine, but like if you're getting those guys from USC and Kansas. Is that enough to close the gap with Florida? Because the gap seemed pretty big talent-wise, like when you played them. And again, I'm not blaming Heupel. It's not his fault. So many people left the program after Jerry Pruitt got, you know, fired.
We didn't get ran off the field, though. I mean,
we scored 0 points in the second half.
I get that, John. I get that.
We got to be like 24.
That's fine. We've talked about that game a lot. I mean, we were a couple plays away
from
maybe
what?
Changing that game up a lot.
From what, though? From losing by 17 instead?
You don't know. If we convert that fourth down and we don't get the drop pass,
sure.
Who knows? Who knows what happens? What was it? 10-point game at that point?
Yeah.
Two-possession game? We score a touchdown. It's a one-possession game.
Sure. It could have been different, but I'm not going to say we're one play away from winning the game. Yeah. We lost by 24.
But if we would have lost a close, heartbreaking game, I think we'd be looking like, oh, we should definitely then beat Florida this year at home.
There's no guarantee that, like, completing that play means that it stays even a heartbreaking
game. It's fine.
Game.
I mean, that's...
Because, I mean...
We don't know.
When we looked at the way Emory Jones is moving the ball up the field, up and down the field in the second half, like, I mean, we just didn't have any answer for them. We lost by 24 points. You could say, like, it was a close 24-point loss, if you want. I won't argue, because you were in the game in the third quarter, but you lost by 24 points. And you lost because you couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter. Couldn't stop them all the entire second half, did you? Did you stop them any in the second half? Because I don't feel like you did. And maybe home field advantage, and like maybe that'll be the day that Neyland Stadium is back, and like you know you're ready to go. And it was for Ole Miss, like the fans showed up for a big game. Again, when I'm talking about attendance in hour one, I'm not blaming the fans. Like they showed up for the big game, the biggest game of the year that you actually had a chance to win. Yeah. It was a great atmosphere, too. The Ole Miss game was fun. The fans will show up on Saturday, September 24th, to play Florida. Who will be playing quarterback for Florida? Who knows? Is it more likely that you win the Florida game or at Pittsburgh if you're just trying to improve on last year's win total?
Still probably at Pittsburgh, right?
I would think so. They lost a lot of super seniors. They lost Kenny Pickett. Like, you would think that that'll be a team that's even going to be below you in talent and recruiting rankings. Like, you would think that would be a game that you should win.
Absolutely. It absolutely should be a game you should win.
That's probably more of one than Florida is for me, just saying, like, probably need to win that Pittsburgh game. Now, you know,
both.
Yeah, if you win that Pittsburgh game and you're 3-0, like, there's a good chance Tennessee will be ranked. Like, there's a good chance Tennessee is going to win their bowl game, maybe play someone like Wisconsin. That's one of the bowl projections you've seen is Wisconsin down in the Outback Bowl. That'll be a good win. That'll be a good class of styles, too. Like, if you can score on that defense, you'll feel good about yourself.
It's a complete opposite team.
If they have the ball for 50 minutes and you have it for 10 and you get beat, you're going to feel bad about yourself. But you win that game, you'll be 8-5, and you will probably be ranked by the time you play Pittsburgh. You might not be in the preseason top 25, but you beat Ball State, you might be ranked like number 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you beat, you know, by the time you, if you beat Pittsburgh, you beat Akron down. Let's assume Tennessee overwhelms both Ball State and Akron. You might be in the top 20 by the time you play that game against Florida. It's possible. It's also possible you lose to Pittsburgh. And like then you lose to Florida and you're 2-2 at bye week. And
if
you're wondering
we lose to Pittsburgh, it could get bad in my opinion. I really do think because you look at the schedule, it's just so tough when you play Florida at LSU at play Bama at home three games in a row after a bye, or you get a bye in between the Florida LSU game, and then you play UT Martin, then you still got to play Kentucky Georgia. Like schedule, just the middle part is so tough. Like if you lose to Pitt, I mean you could be looking at what 2-3 potentially.
Sure, 2-4,
2-4, yeah. No, you're right, 2-4.
You need to get off to a good start next year. Like you need to get to the bye week at least 3-1. If you're 4-0, you're gonna be riding high. You're gonna be feeling really good, and you're gonna have a lot of Tennessee fans go down to LSU, and you might be top 15 in the country when you go down there.
Yeah,
like that's gonna be on the table if you're 4-0 with wins at Pitt and home against Florida. Yeah. You can go in there top 15 in the country.
Yeah.
And then at that point, like if you're 4-0, like I think people will be excited and think you have a chance to win that game. On the flip side, you have a chance of going in there 2-2 and coming out 2-3, and then with a home game against Alabama, where you're like, what the hell just happened? Now, even then, you could still rally and finish 7-5, but
the season would feel lost.
The season would feel like
sitting
it's
at
on
2-4, it'd be people would be off the boat. That's for sure.
It would feel like it's on the brink. The excitement, the win would go out. And again, we're just playing out scenarios here. I think year one, Josh Heupel proved to me he can beat up on the bad teams. That's what I thought he could do coming from UCF. I think this offense will thrive against teams that have even less talent than Tennessee. They're not going to be able to make their adjustments. They're not going to be able to like line up properly on defense, and you're going to beat them. And even against the good teams, you're able to beat them a couple times for big plays. Like against Alabama, you hit them for big plays. Against Florida, you hit them for big plays. But I do still have concerns about like what this offense is going to look like against good teams when you can't get your rhythm going. Because we all thought Ole Miss defense was trash. And like whenever Ole Miss stopped the clock and laid down, our offense was completely lost.
Yeah.
Like I do think year one of Josh Heupel, I feel like his offense needs rhythm.
Oh, no, it's huge. Yeah, that is huge for the offense.
And like otherwise, if it doesn't have rhythm, the offense is a little hit or miss still. I think that's fair to say, right? Against Vanderbilt, you couldn't really get in a rhythm and you still couldn't really move the ball against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Now, if you get going and start getting 6 or 7 yard plays, this offense could score on anybody. Or at least can move the ball.
Yeah, look competent at least,
I won't say score on anybody because even against Alabama, like you hit big plays. Like you only scored on like big plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't
much.
Really sustain pretty drives. Much. It was all just you hit, 40-yard passes.
I don't know our third down numbers, but it does feel like third and longs is kind of a death sentence.
Sure, because you have to have the rhythm. Yeah, Tennessee doesn't need to get to even like really like third downs. Like to me, the offense is at its best, clearly, when it's getting 5-6 yards of play and you're getting up 2nd and 3 and then you're hitting 15 yards and you're resetting the chains and you're down there. Like a lot of our scoring drives, I would imagine, if you run the data, maybe we will at some point this year, I imagine most of your scoring drives are 6 plays or fewer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like outside of like the Bowling Green game when Joe Milton, you just kind of ran the ball against like competent teams with Hooker, I would imagine that all of our scoring drives are pretty much 6 plays or less.
Cause like you said, big plays factor into that and just the speed at which you go.
I still have my questions about what this team is going to look like against good teams, and I don't know if 7-5 year one means that you'll be ready to take a step year two.
Wisconsin would be a good test. That would be a pretty good test.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing pretty well too. I mean, I know they lost to Minnesota, so like you're not getting them red hot, and they might be a little disappointed to be there, but be fun. Be fun. That Pittsburgh game is huge. The difference of what could be happening in the bye week is just so drastic for me next year.
Yeah.
Could be 4-0, and man, like people would be really, really excited to go down to LSU.
Mm, yep.
Most people my age are like, hey, LSU's a trip I want to make. If you didn't get to make it in 2011, 2010? Dilly's first year, right? 2010?
2010, yep.
If you didn't get to make the trip in 2010, like you've been wanting to make it ever since. So, like, if Tennessee could be 4-0 headed there, you'd get a convoy of orange, and it'd be a party. It'd be fun. If you lose to Pittsburgh, you lose to Florida, like, it could be a death sentence at Death Valley. Like, you could be in real big trouble. This is a good off season to kind of see what shakes out between. I mean, we had, what, 100 guys at the transfer portal yesterday?
Really? 100?
I think the total number like was right. I think the total number hit 100.
I mean, how many people are we going to talk at the end of the day here? Like, people hitting the transfer portal?
I feel like most years doesn't it get up to 1,000. I mean, I feel like it got up to like 1,100 last year. Yeah. Not granted, like, some of those guys don't end up going anywhere or, like, not everybody's big names. I mean, if you think about the guys who all left Tennessee, like, not all of them are big names. And, like, Wanya Morris was a big name, and he went to Oklahoma to be a bench player. Eric Gray went there to, you know, not do much.
Didn't he fumble a punt?
Yeah, I was going to say muff a punt.
Yeah.
So, like, not everybody's impact players, but, like, you would think Tennessee will be a popular destination when you look at the potential to have a big season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Back here on the program, Draven, you said we got some more coaching news and
we
stuff
do
continues to develop across the country.
Carousel taking another spin. I guess this isn't as much of a spin as just kind of staying put. Mark Stoops apparently is going to stay at Kentucky. Not going to leave. Of course, he's a big name. Rumored to mostly LSU. That was kind of the big one. And, yeah, he actually just got a contract extension out of it as well. So, how about that?
Okay.
How about Stoops? Playing a little chess over here, huh?
He is.
Get your name in the hat, then get a contract extension.
Yeah, the old Mike Gundy trick for that. It seems to work every year.
James Franklin. We've seen how many coaches pretty much do this, where they've kind of
basically, if you're a decent coach and you get your name floated out there, you end up getting a contract extension.
I did think that was interesting about Brian Kelly as well. I don't know if you saw what the AD said, but the AD was basically like, yeah, we didn't have a chance to match the offer. We didn't have a chance to do anything like that to try to, you know, increase the pay, get a contract extension. I think that is kind of interesting. Kelly didn't even kind of go down that route at all, or even, you know, discuss the possibility. Just like, yep, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah, no. It's interesting. It's interesting to see how this is going to, you know, ripple effect across the country. Obviously, we're seeing it a lot, but could have some big implications with these big jobs opening up and shifting around. And
what do we got now? What's open? We got what? Miami? Big positions open. So we got
Miami, Oklahoma,
Notre Dame now, and
Dame.
Oklahoma. I know Washington, they hired Fresno State's coach. Yep. Yeah. That's about it, isn't it? For bigger programs.
As far as big names,
I know like Temple needs a coach. I'm pretty sure I saw Temple fire their coach. It's like, okay.
It's funny, a lot of those smaller schools they're moving like behind the scenes during this, but like they've been going pretty fast. Like SMU already hired their replacement. I mean,
they had their replacement like
Louisiana Tech's hired. Like all the small schools are working in the background and getting their guys while all these big names are moving, you know, in the forefront. But it's interesting how much this stuff changes. It's been a fun one. I enjoy this kind of stuff. It's going to be
little
interesting.
Chaos. You thrive in the chaos, Cam.
Oh, yeah. I love this kind of stuff. I am really interested. I mean, like we said, Notre Dame and Oklahoma are still really good jobs. So I'm really interested to see, you know, who ends up going that way. Like we kind of talked about earlier, kind of who may consider Notre Dame and Oklahoma. We talked about Venables over there kind of slowing the momentum on that. So I don't know who they would pivot to if that doesn't work out. But, I mean, those are still two big jobs. Like, even with Oklahoma coming to the SEC, like, you're still in a good position to have success if you win anything. So,
right. I got the details on Mark Stoops' contract. Okay. This is kind of crazy. I don't know if I've ever seen this before. So, he has a contract extension through June of 2028, and it actually guarantees extensions for any season with a certain amount of wins. Have you ever heard of this before? So every time the Kentucky wins seven games or more, or seven wins. You get 7 wins, he gets a 1 year extension. 10 wins, he gets a 2 year extension. So every time the Kentucky wins,
so if he wins 7
next
year, go to 2029. Is that what you like? Is that how that works?
I guess. Yeah. I guess essentially. So. Basically, Stoops can be at Kentucky.
So, like a lifetime contract, basically.
Yeah,
if you're
competent. Hell, Kentucky, they're not that down bad. They could win 7 games pretty much every year he's there, don't you think? They could be. They've been inconsistent.
They've been
at
around
least seven.
Seven-win
team, right. A little bit better here or there, 9, 8 wins, whatever. But that's kind of crazy. A 1 year extension for every 7 wins this guy gets. That makes me think that this guy, I mean. Maybe he was on the brink of getting hired somewhere else, right?
Sounds like he had all the leverage.
I get, like, he's kind of a legend there. He's the only reason Kentucky's relevant. I get all that. But, man, that seems like a pretty steep contract. I don't know.
Yeah basically a lifetime.
I wouldn't leave if you were him. I mean.
No, yeah.
No expectations. I mean.
You got your mic on, Cody?
Yes, I do, I think.
Okay. It's weird. Right, it was doing this weird yesterday. It wasn't showing really up on here, but.
Yeah, Hayden's mic was acting funny yesterday when I was listening.
Yeah. You may have to unplug it and plug it back in from the base of the mic. That's what we kind of had to do yesterday. But, this is basically a lifetime contract, basically. Because, like you kind of said, like, he should be able to hit 7 every year. You would think so.
Absolutely.
Like you said, they're not that bad to where you're back to, like, the 4 and 8 years they used to be every year where you're just like, oh, yeah, it's just Kentucky. But, like. Yeah, no, they've been solid to where, they can get the 7 every year. So, well, yes, I guess Stoops locking it down there. I mean, if Venables, I guess, if Brent Venables over there ends up not actually going to Oklahoma, I guess Stoops is kind of out as a candidate for that, too. I saw that name floated just probably because, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, never really saw that.
Maybe Bob threw the name in,
No kidding, but I don't think you can follow in line on that one, so. Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, we talked about hypo. I don't think it's going to happen, whether he's recruit or tweeting about staying. Either way, I think he's going to stay.
Yeah, I'm highly doubtful he would.
Man, I mean, where does the list go? Is Matt Campbell? Is that it for Oklahoma at this point?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel like he's probably decent on their list just because he plays against them pretty well. But, we kind of talked about Notre Dame. He's should be on Notre Dame's list as well, especially, we kind of talk about Fickell having to, go through the basic motions of going to be in the playoff, it seems like, if he gets through this championship game. So if he's still going through the motions of that, you have to either, if that's your guy, you have to wait on him, because I don't think he's just going to, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would just kind of leave Cincinnati, like if you're in the playoffs. I think you're gonna run that through and at least finish that out. So it's, if that's your guy, you're either going to wait or... you got to pivot to somebody else, and, Campbell could be the guy there. Just kind of wild his name has stayed kind of, like, relevant. Like
every year. Every single year.
He's had some very disappointing losses the past two, three years, and he still is that name. It's always out there floating around.
Do you think Oklahoma would try to go back through this process again and take somebody else, another team's head coach, try to poach another head coach? Do you think that's possibly the best way to go about it? Because, Matt Campbell, we talked about that. I mean, Luke Fickell. Could they even do a Power Five coach somewhere? I don't know. I don't know how big of a position Oklahoma is in to do something like that.
I mean, I feel like you at least, if you are starting over, I feel like you at least do have to make a call or two just because you've seen it's possible. And just there's a couple guys you feel like, this guy seems like he'd be a fit here, and you could kind of see him leaving. Yeah, you at least got to ask.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't hurt to ask. So maybe, but I'm sure if Venables is their guy, they'll iron out the details. They usually always do. It's very rare that these things fall through completely if it's the person they want,
Right.
Sometimes coaches change their minds, but I mean, once you're getting this far in the process, you would think they'd be able to hammer out some details and get it done, but
it's not that far in the process though, Cam.
No,
only been a couple days. And again, I think that's why you see some of these teams a little kind of don't really know what we're doing here, because Oklahoma, we talked about USC, kind of knew what was coming. They've probably been contacting, Lincoln Riley for a minute, LSU, the same situation. Oklahoma just kind of had this sprung on them over a weekend, coming off a heartbreaking loss. I just, I don't know how ready they really are for this whole.
And I feel like you're a little panicked too because you're seeing everybody else already getting their people.
Especially
so.
you're thinking, well, we're Oklahoma, we can get a big hire, and then it's.
I mean, you're like, but we also just lost one, so like.
Right.
Yeah, brother. Just be like, hey, Stoops, you can just have it back. Just take this back, please. Anything. Because, yeah, I don't know where they'll go if they don't get Venables over there. It's not a bad job still. I don't know. Seems like you'd be able to get somebody there.
Right.
Not in Notre Dame, but Stoops looks like he will. Mark Stoops looks like he will not be one of them.
That's crazy. That is a crazy contract.
I have never seen anything like that where, yeah, you get the extensions like that just for winning a game or two over expectations. Like,
right.
Jeez, that's almost embarrassing at 7. Like, if you said 10 is just the only one that has that makes a little bit more sense being at Kentucky. But, yeah, when you say you just got to get the 7 wins.
7 wins, 1-year extension, 10 wins, 2-year extension.
That's so weird. That's so weird.
I didn't see any details on the pay of the contract. We'll see if that kind of comes out here in the next little bit. But, yeah, kind of crazy.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm not sure exactly what he's making right now.
Who are we talking about?
Top of my head. Stoops, Mark Stoops.
Oh, how much he's making?
Yeah.
I want to say he's probably going to enter the $6 million range.
You would think so with this new one, yeah.
Which is funny because, I mean, like, if you're Mark Stoops, I mean, I guess you don't want the Oklahoma job or maybe it's not available to you. But at the same time, like, you can just be a legend at Kentucky and wait for something better to come up.
I mean,
up
you basically just signed a lifetime contract. The way the incentives are set up.
I'm sure the buyout's going to stay low, too. I mean, like, did you guys see Mel Tucker's yesterday?
His buyout?
That it, like, stays at $2 million.
Really?
Like basically $2.5 million if he leaves the school. Okay. It gets fully guaranteed if he gets fired. But if he leaves before next year, it's only $2.5 million. Then it goes down to $2 million and then $1.5 million. Like, he's pretty much still has the freedom.
He is set.
I'd imagine Mark Stoops has something similar to that.
You would think so.
Which is really good for Mark Stoops because if you look at their schedule this year, they beat 0 teams with a winning record.
Jeez, okay, I did not realize that.
Wow.
Now, other than UTC, who
even Louisville, they went 6-6?
Yep.
That checks out, man.
Wow.
Wow, okay. I did not even think about that. That's crazy.
Beat 0 teams with a winning record. Other than, I think, UTC, who had one in FCS.
Right. Look at their schedule next year. It's easy, too, man. I guess they play Ole Miss. That's their tough game at Ole Miss.
Yeah. But, yeah, 7 wins and you get a yearly extension. That's nuts.
It's nice work if you can get it. The end of Hour 2 is brought to you by our toy drive. That's right. This Friday, Russell Smith, the drive, will be at National RX doing a Toys for Tots toy drive. Friday from 3 to 6, help make Christmas special for area kids in need. Bring toys for both boys and girls to National RX, Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy, locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated. Toy drive all day at National RX. You can bring them by anytime on Friday, but the drive will be their own location from 3 to 6 if you want to come by and say hello to Russell. Kick off Hour 3 with headlines. We got some Tuesday trivia to play as well. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.